This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. Our next story is about the OSA, or the Official Secrets Act. Apparently, it is no longer going to be scrapped because it may hinder the federal government's work at the cabinet level. This is according to the Prime Minister.
Yes, yes. Of course it is. How did it make you feel?
Okay, so here's the thing. With the OSA, I think an Official Secrets Act is necessary.
Do you mean that in theory or do you mean that in practice? Because I tend to feel that the way our acts and our laws are used here, there's a difference between something sounding great in theory and then being used in practice and, you know, people feeling distinctly uncomfortable.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, both in theory and in practice, in the sense that I think government work requires a certain amount of secrecy, right? Especially when it comes to espionage work and all of that stuff, which needs to be governed by the OSA, an Official Secrets Act, because there needs to be punishment for people who break a certain amount of secrets, especially when it puts national security at stake, right? That being said, the OSA has been put on so many ridiculous and stupid things by the last government that it's been completely and utterly abused.
Yes, and also in terms of public opinion, it's not doing so great, is it? I think also with our... It's not a new zeal for transparency that we have, but a new ability to express that desire for transparency. And with that desire has come this idea that anything that contains the word secrets, anything that seems to hinder any form of communication or freedom of speech, that is problematic. Anything that blocks transparency is problematic. And I think there is where the OSA might have a little bit of a PR problem, and saying that you plan to keep it is, in that sense, not something that some people want to hear.
So I think there is a way to be transparent about not being transparent, right?
Sure.
And what I mean by that, of course, is I think when it comes to issues of national defense and security, if our spokespeople from the security forces were to explain why a certain thing needs to be secret and so on and so forth, and actually communicate to the public in that manner, then I think a lot of public would understand why they were doing certain things. I think when you start putting things like the 1MDB report under OSA, when it's a matter of national interest because it involves corruption at the highest levels, that's when it becomes dodgy.
I think there's going to be a period of transparency, a period of transition, basically, where we get used to the idea that something that used to be abused may now no longer be, and that therefore we can change our minds about it. Because I think there's all this lingering feeling, lingering sentiment left over from the previous administration that tends to cloud things now.
And it clouds things even more so, given that a lot of the people in the current administration, especially Dr. Mahathir himself, had used these tools to protect the previous, his government as well. So there's still a sense of, I guess, uncertainty as to how much he's changed as an administrator, right?
That is a topic for another day and another show.
Exactly. And so I think that's what the new government really needs to assure people about, or of, that these laws exist and we're not going to utilize them or abuse them in the same way if we decide to keep them. I mean, there are draconian laws. The laws against, say, carnal intercourse, for example, is archaic and stupid. The ISA, the Sedition Act, all of these things, yes, you can do without, because there are enough of laws that can take their place if people genuinely commit a crime. The preemptive crime laws are the worst, right? But that being said, I think you can actually make a strong case as to why, under which circumstances the OSA should exist and what it should be utilized for. We have on the line constitutional lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Thank you so much for joining us, Sin Yu. Do we need to keep the Official Secrets Act?
I think there is a need to have laws protecting official secrets. Certain information that is vital to a nation's interests, such as national security and intelligence, defense, international relations, and crime and special investigation powers, this should be protected from disclosure. However, I do not think that the Official Secrets Act in its current form should be kept, because we have seen oftentimes in the past that the OSA has been abused by the powers that be. One of the most obvious and recent example is the Auditor General's report on 1MDB being classified as an official secret, even though there was no conceivable reason why it would be so. So time and time again, we see the OSA being used to protect wrongdoings that had occurred in the government. I feel that it's high time to have a wholesale amendment to the OSA.
So what are the features of the OSA that make it problematic? And do you agree with Dr. Mahathir's statement that the government just has to follow the rule of law when it comes to the Act?
Well, the problem with that statement is that the provisions of the OSA itself is against the rule of law and is inconsistent with certain constitutional guarantee rights, such as the freedom of expression. What the OSA does is basically giving the government unlimited power to classify any document or information as official secrets without having to give any reason doing so. You see, under the OSA, it provides for powers to the minister or to the chief minister or any public officer appointed by them to classify documents as being an official secret. There is also a schedule in the Act that automatically provides for certain documents to be official secret, such as cabinet documents, records of decisions or meetings of cabinet committees. Likewise, state executive council documents, minutes of state executive council committees are also classified as official secrets. And of course, there's documents concerning national security, defense, and international relations being official secrets. So it can be fairly said that the information that is subject to classification as a official secret is potentially unlimited. Like I've said, there is no requirement for the person classifying a document as a secret to give any reasons for doing so. There is no defense against a disclosure if such a disclosure does not pose a real and serious risk to national security as required under international law. And there is not even a requirement or even a risk of harm from disclosure.
And Sinyu, once something is classified under the Act, how long will it remain an official secret?
So once classified under the OSA, once a document is classified as an official secret, the document will forever be considered as an official secret unless lifted by the government. And this is contrary to practice in other countries where there is a time limit or there is a requirement for periodic review of classification. And I think one of the biggest problems with the OSA is that there is an absence of any sort of check and balance on the powers of the minister or the public official to classify information. And the courts are prevented from questioning whether the document or the information is indeed an official secret. So the long and short of it is that there's practically unlimited power with the government to deny us, the public, any information that they see fit. And this is highly problematic because it allows public officials or the government to conceal corruption. It enables abuse of power, and it doesn't provide any sort of transparency into the use of public funds or public resources. And these are generally inconsistent with the rule of law, basic notions of justice and principles of public law and administrative justice.
Right. And is there any procedure that needs to be followed to classify information?
Oh, no, there's no procedure. All that is needed is for the minister or the chief minister or the public official appointed by them to classify whether an information or a document is official secret.
And of course, Pakatan had also promised in its manifesto to revamp the Whistleblower Protection Act 2010, the Witness Protection Act 2009, and also to enact a Freedom of Information Act. Would keeping the OSA contradict those acts?
In its current form, it's definitely going to contradict what these acts are trying to achieve. Because when you have the Whistleblower Protection Act, you have the Witness Protection Act, you have the Freedom of Information Act, all these acts are there to promote transparency. It's there to prevent abuse of power, it's to prevent corruption. But if you keep the OSA in its current form, where the government has practically unlimited power in denying information, it really defeats the objective of having all these other acts that seeks to promote transparency and to prevent corruption and abuse of power. So the answer is no, and the Pakatan government would have to look at having an alternative to the OSA, where it's much stricter and narrower in its definitions and categories of what constitutes an official secret. We need to have proper check and balance on the powers of the government to classify information as official secrets. And I think we need to have available defenses against disclosures which are in the public interest, and also that this act wouldn't have to be in line with our constitutionally guaranteed right to freedom of expression, because freedom of expression also means the freedom to access information, and also it needs to be in line with international principles.
Sinyu, are there any examples of other countries that deal well with official secrets? Are there traits that we can look at?
I think in the mature democracies, there are existing legislation such as the Freedom of Information Act that allows the public to have access to information belonging or is in the possession of the government. I know UK has that and the US has that, and we have seen multiple instances in the past where because the public and journalists were able to access this information, there has been greater transparency and there's been greater check and balance in how the government and public officials run their day-to-day business. I think UK, they still have the Official Secrets Act. The US has the Espionage Act. But I think the scope of categories which what constitutes an official secret, it's not as wide-ranging as our Official Secrets Act.
Overall, do you think it's a leap of faith of sorts for the government to let go of the Official Secrets Act?
I don't think it's a leap of faith. We are no longer living in a time where the government knows best. I think the society and the public in general are much more educated. They are much more aware of rights. They are much more aware of what is wrong. And it is only in line with basic notions of transparency, check and balance, accountability, for there to be a more accessible government to the people. So if you have an act that runs contrary to these basic principles of transparency, accountability, check and balance, having proper check and balance, then we are really no better than we have not really progressed as a society, lah. But it's not a leap of faith. I wouldn't say there needs to be a leap of faith. I think there needs to be more trust in the society that the government should not be so paternalistic there needs to be more belief in Malaysians that, you know, with this information, it's only going to make it's going to make society better. It's going to make government better.
All right, Sin Yu, thank you so much for your perspective. That was constitutional lawyer New Sin Yu with his thoughts on keeping or scrapping the Official Secrets Act 1972. We've got the news coming your way, so don't go anywhere. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.